From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kilohertz and voanews.id.
Listener, here's the news read by Steve. First, the headlines. Vice President Maruf Amin affirms the government is trying to keep staple prices in check ahead of Ramadan. Minister Prabowo Subianto supports strengthening Indonesia-Singapore defense cooperation, and here is the news in detail. Vice President Maruf Amin has said that the government has anticipated an increase in the prices of basic commodities ahead of the holy month of Ramadan. As quoted by Antara, according to Vice President Maruf Amin, during a working visit to Surakarta on Wednesday, the government has actually anticipated it through efforts to tackle inflation. He further said that the prices of basic commodities usually increase ahead of Ramadan. However, he ensured that the government is taking precautions to prevent an unusual increase in the prices of basic commodities that is not caused by a shortage of supply in any area. The Minister of Defense, Prabowo Subianto, expressed his support for harmonious defense cooperation between Indonesia and Singapore. The government welcomes any efforts to strengthen and create harmonious defense cooperation between the two countries and are open to exploring all potential defense cooperation that provides mutual benefits. This was affirmed by Minister Prabowo in a statement released on Wednesday, as quoted by Antara. During the meeting, he lauded the Singaporean government for completing the domestic requirements for defense cooperation of both countries. Indonesia's Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs has asked ASEAN countries to overcome various political, social, and economic challenges in the maritime sector, including transnational crime, inadequate financial and technological capacity, climate change, overfishing, and pollution. In the Southeast Asia and in the Pacific regions, the ocean has great economic value and has increasingly been considered as a potential area for economic development. It was said by the Deputy for the Coordination of International Economic Cooperation at the Coordinating Ministry, Edi Prio Pambudi, during a multi-stakeholder dialogue on the development of ASEAN Blue Economy Framework in Belitung District, Bangka Belitung Island, on Wednesday. He also noted that the value of goods and services in the maritime sector is projected to reach $2.5 trillion. The Environment and Forestry Ministry has launched a movement to encourage landfill mining, since no more landfills will be constructed from 2030. The government wants to encourage landfill mining to use up the mountains of waste at landfills as a raw material for RDF, aka refuse-derived fuel, and other products. This was conveyed by the Director General of Toxic and Hazardous Waste Management at the Ministry, Rosa Vivian Ratnawati, at a press conference as co-voted by Antara. She also remarked that Adipura is an award bestowed on cities and districts that manage to maintain their cleanliness and ensure good environmental management. The US Embassy in Mogadishu stated the United States has donated more than 60 tons of weapons and ammunition to the Somali National Army, or SNA, to boost ongoing operations against the militant group Al-Shabaab and for future trainings of an elite infantry unit. As reported by VOAnews.com, a statement from the embassy Wednesday said the weapons arrived in Mogadishu's international airport aboard two US 4C-17 cargo planes that were greeted by Somalia's Minister of Defense and Chief of Defense Forces, as well as the embassy Mogadishu Child Affairs Tim Trinkle. According to the US statement, the weapon included 61 tons of AK-47s, heavy machine guns, and ammunition. Dozens of girls from 26 schools in Iran are reportedly being treated for poisoning at hospitals after another wave of apparent toxic gas attacks. As quoted by BBC.com, more than 1,000 students have been affected since November. They have suffered respiratory problems, nausea, dizziness, and fatigue. Many Iranians suspect the poisonings are a deliberate attempt to force the girls' schools to close, but the government has not said whether it believes they are premeditated. Interior Minister Ahmad Vahidi, who has been tasked by the president with finding the root cause of the poisonings, on Wednesday dismissed all false as a report by Fars News Agency that three people had been arrested. He also accused foreign-based and mercenary groups of taking advantage of the situation to wage psychological war and worry the people. The government of Singapore will publish an annual report to detail its progress, efforts, and plans in environmental sustainability starting in the financial year 2023. Minister for Sustainability and Environment Grace Fu told the parliament on Thursday. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, the annual report comes under the GreenGov.sg initiative, which details how the public sector will lead the way in pursuing sustainable development. Under the GreenGov.sg, the government has committed to achieve several sustainability targets by 2030, including for energy, water, and waste, and to achieve net zero emissions around 2045, 5 years ahead of the national target. And listener, that's the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
dance performances from Indonesia such as Bajidor, Kahot, Pendet, and Kinang Kilaras in Livin Malay Day 2023, one of the biggest cultural festivals in southern Thailand. The festival held in Yala Province from 24th until 26th of February 2023 has been initiated by the Yala City government since 2014 to introduce Malay culture through collaboration with the Indonesian Consulate in Songkla and the Malaysian Consulate General in Songkla. The Indonesian Consulate in Songkla in a written statement on Saturday stated that Melayu Day 2023 featured culture, fashion and dance performances, as well as cultural seminars, educational exhibitions, culinary promotions and typical products from the participating countries such as Indonesia, Malaysia and Thailand. Indonesia's participation is a good momentum to keep promoting Indonesia, especially in the fields of culture, education and the creative economy in southern Thailand. Dancers from Galuh University West Java are said to have performed the Jaipong and Sekar Putri dances, while Dharma Wanita Persatuan of the Indonesian Consulate in Songkla performed by contributing the songs Tobelo and Gemufa Mire. In addition to dance performances, the batik activities guided by the Yogyakarta Madani Batik Studio also receive a warm welcome from visitors who wanted to try their own batik. Kadin DKI Jakarta in the field of fashion industry did not miss taking part in introducing Indonesian clothing in the fashion show event. The festival was also attended by a number of Indonesian educational institutions, including Yogyakarta State University, Jakarta National University, and North Sumatra Muhammadiyah University. They introduced their respective study programs to the visitors at educational exhibitions. The visitors also had the opportunity to sample a variety of Indonesian culinary and MSME's products from Bandung Indonesia Muslim Entrepreneurs Association and Dharma Wanita of the Indonesian Consulate in Songkla. Secretary General of Thailand's Southern Border Provinces Administrative Center, Rear Admiral Somkiat Poprayon, officially opened the Melayu Day 2023 event. The opening ceremony was attended by Deputy Governor of Yala, Mayor Yala, Indonesian Consul Songkla, and representative from the Malaysian Consulate General Songkla.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we begin today in history with the event on 2nd March 1957 when Permesta was established. Perjuangan Semesta or Perjuangan Rakyat Semesta, abbreviated as Permesta, is a military movement on the island of Sulawesi. This movement was declared by military leaders in eastern Indonesia on 2 March 1957. The center of this movement was originally located in Makassar City, South Sulawesi, but then moved to Manado City in North Sulawesi. The Permesta movement then led to a rebellion against the central government. Killing this rebellion, the central government launched several military operations. On 17 December 1960, Permesta agreed to end their rebellion. We move to the next event in 1956, the independence of Morocco. Morocco is located in northern Africa, on the shores of the Mediterranean and Atlantic Ocean, and borders Algeria and Western Sahara, and directly opposite Spain. Morocco was colonized by the Portuguese and Spanish. In the early 20th century, Morocco became a French protectorate. The struggle for independence continued to roll either through negotiation or violence. Morocco's efforts to gain independence were brought to the UN General Assembly in 1952. The Asian African Conference in Bandung 1955 further strengthened Morocco's position in gaining independence. Finally, on 2 March 1956, France gave Morocco independence and King Mohammed V became head of government. We end with the event in 1959 when Bandung Institute of Technology was established. The Bandung Institute of Technology, or ITB, is a state university in Bandung City, West Java. Initially, ITB was a technical college founded by the Dutch colonial government under the name Technische Hogeschool de Bandung, or TH Bandung. After Indonesia's independence, TH Bandung became part of the University of Indonesia, namely the Faculty of Engineering and the Faculty of Exact and Natural Sciences. On 2 March 1959, the faculty separated from the University of Indonesia and became the Bandung Institute of Technology. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry initiates landfill mining. The landfill mining aims to empty the mountains of trash, considering there will be any new landfill development starting in 2030. That was stated by the Ministry Director General for Waste Management, Rosafifin Ratnawati. She also said that the landfill mining can use the trash as raw material for refuse derived fuel, or RDF. Landfill mining is a mining at an inactive zone with decomposed trash to reuse it so that it prolongs service of Integrated Waste Treatment Area, or TPST, in hope of repurposing it for other environmental purposes. Rosafifin further said that Indonesia has a target to reduce waste up to 30% and waste treatment up to 70% by 2025. She hopes that all household and similar waste can be managed up to 100% in 2025. To realize those targets, the Environment and Forestry Ministry has encouraged the integrated, latest, and professional waste treatment system implementation from the upstream to the downstream in every region, or cities. Based on the ministry's data in 2022, the total waste in Indonesia was 68 million tons per year, with the biggest composition being 41.27% food leftover and 38.20% household waste. She further elaborated that landfill development is still tolerated until 2030, but the ministry is encouraging every regional or city government to reduce mountain of trash at the landfill by means of landfill mining. For example, Bantar Gebang landfill will start mining in April 2023. The landfill mining will reduce the waste in Bantar Gebang to be used as an economic value product, such as refuse derived fuel.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Stick around and get along with you. You know that I'll be with you if I could. I'll come around and see you once in a while, or if I ever need a reason to smile. Every now and then I'm insecure. You're so fine, being on my mind, get nervous every time, and I can barely make a sound, whenever you're around. You're so fine, being on my mind, get nervous every time, and I can barely make a sound. Every now and then I'm insecure. Let me laugh.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Traveling to the Mac, you can visit many pieces of evidence of the legacy of the spread of Islam on the island of Java. In addition, the Mac also has a variety of culinary delights. One of them is nasi goreng. You can enjoy it when visiting the Mac. This dish comes from recipes inherited from the Bintoro Kingdom. The Bintoro Kingdom, or the Mac Bintoro, was the first Islamic kingdom on the island of Java. In its heyday, goreng rice was known as a common people's food. At that time, many Demak people liked this food. Goreng rice is called the food of the common people because the food ingredients can be obtained easily from plantation. The ingredients are banana heart, sweet potato leaves, lamtoro seeds, turi flowers, young melandingan fruit, Chinese petai leaves and cassava leaves. After all, the vegetables are boiled, the dish is then toasted with peanut sauce, which has been stir fried. Next, it is sprinkled with uyah goreng or fried salt, which is made from roasted grated coconut sprinkled with salt. These ingredients are then mixed into the rice. The way to serve it is on a banana leaf, which has been made into a cone, or what the local people call it, pincho. When eaten, goreng rice tastes delicious and tasty. To make it even more delicious, goreng rice is enjoyed with other complimentary side dishes, such as wet tempeh fried sambal, salted or hot fish peanut brittle, fried mendoan, and vegetable bakwan. Segon goreng is still commonly found in villages in Demak City. The sellers are mostly elderly women who continue the business of their parents. The price itself is quite cheap. It's from 2,500 rupiah to 3,100 rupiah per pincho.
Lembaran foto hitam putih, aku coba ingat lagi warna bajumu kala itu. Kali pertama di hidupku, manusia lain memelukku. Lembaran foto hitam putih, aku coba ingat lagi wangi rumah di sore itu. Kue coklat balon warna-warni, pesta hari ulang tahunku. Lembaran foto hitam putih kembali teringat malamku hitung-hitung bintang saat mataku sulit tidur. Suaramu buatku lelah. Ungkapan terima kasihku. Lembar monokrom hitam putih, aku coba ingat warna demi warna di hidupku. Takkan ku mengenal cinta bila bukan karena hati baikmu.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Miscellany for today has a topic: Tourism and Creative Economy Ministry facilitates production financing for 4 Indonesian films through FinsCoin. Listeners, the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy will facilitate the financing of 4 Indonesian film productions through Fintech Securities Crowdfunding or FinsCoin as an alternative funding solution in a bid to support the development of Indonesian film. This facilitation is the result of a collaboration among the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, BIZARE, and the ADIA Group. Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno, hopes that the rise of the Indonesian film subsector will have a positive impact on creating more jobs. According to Minister Sandiaga, it is time for Indonesia to become a world film destination and creator of international class creative economy products. Deputy Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Angela Tanusudibyo, stated that this funding scheme is a good breakthrough. So, funding, which has been an issue in the film industry, can be completed. She also pointed out that with the active involvement of the community, they will automatically participate in promoting the film from the start. In the future, the ministry will encourage more films that can be funded through crowdfunding and are also open for other IP financing such as music and events. Meanwhile, the Deputy for Industry and Investment at the Ministry, Rizky Handayani, said that his side is trying to continue to support the film industry through access to alternative financing known as Finchcoin, and hopes that this will be the start of more growth and development of Indonesian film. For people who want to participate as investors in this program, they can download the Bizarre application, then choose the type of film to be invested in. Financial reports and business development reports are also in the application so that they can be checked anywhere transparently and safely. That's Miscellany.
Negatif biar jadi yang elak. Lu ayo coba. Freeze, harus lebih dingin. Peace, tolong didamain. Oh, cheers, tolong dituangin. Lebih santai dikit. Kalau panas harus cooling down.
Buka mata, lihat dirimu. Tak masalah, gapai mimpi.
And I stick to the plan. And I don't give a damn. No need to worry, we gonna be.
Siap ambil papan bila mereka tetap ingin ku tetap maju ke depan.
Hey, I don't give a damn.
We gon' be alright. Sometimes we need to slow.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
The group was formed in 1997. Their early formation consisted of 7 people, namely Rika Ruslan as lead vocal, Reza as lead vocal, Yuka Sampurna in bass, Ari in guitar, Tanto keyboard and synthesizer, Ali in piano, Ray Joss in percussions and Deta in drum. The group debut album was Ku Ingin or I Want To in 1999, with their top hits Dahulu or It Used To. The song tells about two lovers who felt their relationship is what it used to be. Listener, here is The Groove with Dahulu.
Semua indah dahulu, ku menjadi bunga cintamu.
Indonesia.
Jalani kehidupan penuh badai menghadang, akan mudah dijelang dengan hadirnya seseorang. Akan terasa berat dan akan sepi sendiri, beban mudah dibagi dengan teman kota sendiri.
Teman cahaya hati, teman sayap kakimu, teman selalu memberi, hidup akan lebih berarti.
Jangan lupakan teman, jalin untuk bersama, jangan lupakan sayap.
tanda cinta di hati akan sangat berarti, walau hanya sepatah kata.
Teman cahaya hati, teman sayap kakimu, oh. Teman selalu memberi, hidup akan lebih berarti.
Jangan lupa bersama, coba ungkapkan saya.
Indonesia.
Aku dan lain.
Voice of Indonesia.
It's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.